You're listening to Eagle Wings Online Radio, your messianic Christian music alternative.
Like what we do? Share this on your socials and tell everyone.
We hope you get blessed by this narrated sermon podcast from Pastor Chris.
Document title, The Significance of a Vision. Topic, Cornelius of the Italian Band. More and more, I am drawn into the rights and wrongs of scripture interpretation. I am not saying that I know it all. What I am saying is that I want to know it. I want to know the truth of the original word spoken by Jesus and spoken by the disciples. I want to know the truth. What were they, and what are they, saying to you and to me? Also, very importantly, there seems to be the question of what they are not saying to us. This message is a word given to me, as it is with all the messages I preach. They are preached to myself first, and then to others. This said, my friends, if you feel conviction from the words received, I am grateful to the Holy Spirit for this. It is not my word or my will to conform you to my way of thinking. It is my sincere wish and prayer to conform you to God's word. As said earlier, this is a search for the truth of and in God's word, filtering out all that is of men and not of God, comparing different languages and translations to be fed by the Holy Spirit with the truth of God. Why all this in our introduction this week? I can tell you very simply and quickly. Pork. I am convinced that for me, pork does not belong on the menu. How is this then for you? That, my friends, is between you and the Lord. It is your conviction, your faith, your belief. Not too long ago, we studied the letter of James, Yaakov, to the believers, and we came to the conclusion in the first week that it was not just a letter to the messianic believers, the Hebrews, but to all believers, Jews and Gentiles alike. So then, how did it come to pass that the word went out to the Gentiles when the Jews involved were called devout each and every time? This is the topic of today, reaching out to the Gentiles, reaching out to those outside our comfort zones. When we look at the Old Testament, we know this truth. It is written in biblical Hebrew and translated into hundreds of other languages. When we look at the New Testament, the Brit Gadasha, then it is suddenly a whole different story. People have said that the New Testament was written in Greek. I have always questioned that, because how could it be that those fishermen were at least trilingual and able to write elegantly in those languages? They spoke Aramaic. In the temple they read and sang in biblical Hebrew. And then they also, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, wrote whole Gospels, and then the letters from Paul and James, and so forth. Something was simply not right for me. What is happening, however, is that we are finding more and more proof that the original language is indeed not Greek, but Hebrew and Aramaic. The book of Luke and the majority of the book of Acts might indeed have been written in Greek by Luke, who was Greek by birth and a follower, a disciple of Paul. He never married and followed Paul all the way toward his martyrdom. Due to the quote of Paul concerning Luke and the other colleagues of the circumcision, we can also speculate that Luke was not an observant Jew, or perhaps even a Gentile by birth. With this, the difference in language also makes a lot of sense. Thus, with this, we have also made clear that Luke was not a disciple of Jesus, but of Paul, and with that, still an apostle, a planter of the church. With this information, we are now going to have a look at the actions of a very devout man and see the beginning of the outreach of the gospel to the Gentiles. Today, we will go through and exhort Acts chapter 10. we will look at four parts of this story: two visions, a miraculous encounter, and a great conversion. So, let us look at the first vision. Vision 1, Acts chapter 10, verse 1 to 8, Amplified Bible. Now living at Caesarea, there was a man whose name was Cornelius, a centurion, captain of what was known as the Italian regiment, a devout man who venerated God and treated him with reverential obedience, as did all his household, and he gave much alms to the people and prayed continually to God. About the ninth hour, about 3 p.m. of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God entering and saying to him, "Cornelius." And he, gazing intently at him, became frightened and said, "What is it, Lord?" And the angel said to him, "Your prayers and your generous gifts to the poor have come up as a sacrifice to God and have been remembered by him. And now send men to Joppa and have them call for and invite here a certain Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging with Simon a tanner, whose house is by the seaside." When the angel who spoke to him had left, Cornelius called two of his servants and a God-fearing soldier from among his own personal attendants, and having rehearsed everything to them, he sent them to Joppa. "What is so important, or so wonderfully hidden, about this part?" one might ask. I would like to tell you, and for that we need, of course, as we do so many times, to set the stage. Heavenly Father, now that we are coming into this word, I pray that you will have your Holy Spirit speak to each and every one of us with the truth of this message, applying it to our souls for the further advancement of your holy kingdom. Amen. All right, let us set the stage. Who is this Cornelius fellow? Cornelius is a Roman soldier. We might call him a captain of the occupying army. Cornelius was a centurion of the second cohort of the civilians of the Roman Empire. The Romans were very successful in occupying other countries because of one thing only. They were feared. The Romans were brutal and spilled blood without question. Decapitations, crucifixions, floggings nearly unto death, and torture were normal things for them. When a soldier came, you fled. It could cost you your life. So this feared man, Scripture tells us, was different. In his personal life, he feared God. He gave money to the poor, and he treated those working for him and enslaved to him with respect. Wow, that is rather different from the pictures we know from the history books. Then it happens, at the ninth hour of the day watch, which is around 3 p.m., that he has a vision and is told that his actions, followed out of his belief, were seen by God. Oh my, is that not something special? Personally, I would be very confused, and I think also very afraid, if I were to see an angel of the Lord. Is it not the normal line of thought that when you see an angel of the Lord, you are being brought home to heaven? Then hearing in this text that Cornelius was startled might even be a slight understatement. God has a message for him. He needs to send messengers to the city of Joppa, which we now know as the port city of Jaffa, part of Tel Aviv. You know, that is a rather big thing, sending your servants on such a long journey, 40 miles, and if you really push it, a two-day journey. Cornelius needed to give them letters for safe passage and money for food and lodging. It is a lot, without a doubt. The last part of our text says that after he had rehearsed it, he sent them. Now I can understand the charge. Go to Joppa, see Simon the tanner, ask for Simon Peter, and tell him that I want to see him right away. Then while they were, and the Bible reads to us, were still on their way, emphasis mine, Simon Peter received a very worrisome vision. We will be reading about this in Acts chapter 10, verse 9 to 16. Vision 2, Acts chapter 10, verse 9 to 16, Amplified Bible. The next day, as they were still on their way and were approaching the town, Peter went up to the roof of the house to pray about the sixth hour, noon. But he became very hungry and wanted something to eat. And while the meal was being prepared, a trance came over him, and he saw the sky opened and something like a great sheet lowered by the four corners, descending to the earth. It contained all kinds of quadrupeds and wild beasts and creeping things of the earth and birds of the air. And there came a voice to him saying, "Rise up, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "No, by no means, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common and unhallowed or ceremonially unclean." And the voice came to him again a second time, "What God has cleansed and pronounced clean, do not you defile and profane by regarding and calling common and unhallowed or unclean." This occurred three times. Then immediately the sheet was taken up to heaven. "Who is this Simon Peter?" Simon was the brother of Andrew, a fisherman by profession and a follower of John the Baptist. He was a rather emotional and straightforward kind of man who was not afraid to say things like they are. "Wow, a man after my own heart." Later on, Jesus called him by the Aramaic name Cephas, which means rock. Many times Cephas was the spokesperson for the apostles, and at Pentecost, it was he who started to speak to the crowd. Legend says that when he was convicted to death by the Romans, he said that he was not worthy to be put to death in the same way that Jesus died. Thus, he was crucified upside down. According to the Catholic Church, he was the first pope of the Church of Rome. All right, so this is then Simon Peter. It says that the messengers of Cornelius were still traveling, and that it was about the sixth hour, noon, when Peter went up to the roof to find solitude in prayer. I do not know about you, but for me, when it is that time and the house starts to fill with the smells of lunch, I begin to get pretty hungry. So too with Simon Peter. And at that time, a trance, or a vision, came over him. He saw a great linen sheet coming down from heaven, held by the four corners, filled with all kinds of animals that were, according to scripture and the interpretations of the sages and rabbis, not kosher, or in other words, not right to eat. That must have been a rather big thing for Peter. Besides not eating them, he, as a devout Jew, would stay far away from this for sure. Interesting to see is that more and more scholars are in agreement that this cloth, or sail, or sheet was really a tallit, the prayer shawl, or, as I always like to call it, the portable tabernacle. One of the reasons for this thought is because the word linen was explicitly used, and secondly, the word used to describe the connection on the four corners, bound, might also mean knitted or knotted. This then points us to the four corners of the tallit, the tzitzit, with their special knots, telling us about the five books of the law and the commandments. Knowing that with the tallit the people of God would bring themselves into the secret place, into the tabernacle of God, these creatures were at this same moment brought into the tabernacle of God. Let us make sure, though, that we understand that this is not the holy place of the sacrifices, nor the holiest of holies, the innermost place where God resided. So then, did God suddenly change his mind and say that now it is all right for him to eat unclean animals? When we continue to study Peter, we do not find a place where he is eating anything unkosher. All right then, what does this mean? Is Peter in disobedience to God? Is Peter simply being Peter and stubborn? Or is there more to it than we see at first glance. With all those animals in the tallit, in the tabernacle, these represent those in the nations, or as the Jewish people would call them, the goyim, whom all the disciples and followers of Christ at that moment thought to be common, profane, ceremonially unclean, even defiled, and certainly unholy. As for unclean, we can go even further and say that within unclean we can call it foul, or even demonic, which means that for a devout believer, you stay away from them, you do not buy in their shops, and when one walks toward you on the sidewalk, you go to the other side of the road. As in the story of the Samaritan and the injured man, they walked in a wide circle around him. Then a tallit comes down with all those animals in it. They are with me in the tabernacle, shock and awe. Peter went so far as to say to God, "No way, by no means," up to three times. Peter was still very confused and thinking about it when the men of Cornelius were standing at the door. A miraculous encounter, Acts chapter 10, verse 17 to 29, Amplified Bible. Now Peter was still inwardly perplexed and doubted as to what the vision which he had seen could mean, when just then behold, the messengers that were sent by Cornelius, who had made inquiry for Simon's house, stopped and stood before the gate. And they called out to inquire whether Simon, who was surnamed Peter, was staying there. And while Peter was earnestly revolving the vision in his mind and meditating on it, the Holy Spirit said to him, "Behold, three men are looking for you. Get up and go below and accompany them without any doubt about its legality or any discrimination or hesitation, for I have sent them." Then Peter went down to the men and said, "I am the man you seek. What is the purpose of your coming?" And they said, "Cornelius, a centurion, a captain, who is just and upright and in right standing with God, being God-fearing and obedient and well spoken of by the whole Jewish nation, has been instructed by a holy angel to send for you to come to his house, and he has received in answer to prayer a warning to listen to and act upon what you have to say." So Peter invited them in to be his guests for the night. The next day he arose and went away with them, and some of the brethren from Joppa accompanied him. And on the following day they entered Caesarea. Cornelius was waiting for and expecting them, and he had invited together his relatives and his intimate friends. As Peter arrived, Cornelius met him, and falling down at his feet, he made obeisance and paid worshipful reverence to him. But Peter raised him up, saying, "Get up, I myself am also a man." And as Peter spoke with him, he entered the house and found a large group of persons assembled. And he said to them, "You yourselves are aware how it is not lawful or permissible for a Jew to keep company with, or to visit, or even to come near, or to speak first to anyone of another nationality. But God has shown and taught me by words that I should not call any human being common or unhallowed or ceremonially unclean. Therefore, when I was sent for, I came without hesitation or objection or misgivings. So now I ask for what reason you sent for me. You know, it is truly surprising to me how much in my past, and with that still in the lives of many Christians, people pick and choose parts of the story and yet do not see the whole complete picture. Had Peter not received this vision, he would not have spoken and then gone with the servants of Cornelius." Acts chapter 10 verse 20 tells us this so clearly. Do not have any doubt. Yes, that would have been the first thing that happened. Can I do this? These people are Gentiles, goyim. Am I doing right? You can still see some hesitation though, because he first asked them, "What is your business?" And they told the whole story before he let them in. The next day, they traveled back to Caesarea, which indeed means that they stayed the night. When they arrived at Cornelius's house, we see that he had invited a crowd, and we get a great explanation of Peter's vision in Acts chapter 10, verse 28. He said to them, "You are well aware that for a man who is a Jew to have close association with someone who belongs to another people, or to come and visit him, is something that just is not done. But God has shown me not to call any person common or unclean." With this we can see, as we also saw in the letter of Yaakov during the last 5 weeks, that the Great Commission, the outreach to Jew and Gentile alike, has started. A great conversion. Acts chapter 10, verse 30 to 48, Amplified Bible. And Cornelius said, "This is now the fourth day since about this time I was observing the ninth hour, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, of prayer in my lodging place. Suddenly, a man stood before me in dazzling apparel, and he said, 'Cornelius, your prayer has been heard and hearkened to, and your donations to the poor have been known and preserved before God, so that he heeds and is about to help you. Send therefore to Joppa and ask for Simon, who is surnamed Peter. He is staying in the house of Simon the Tanner by the seaside. So at once I sent for you, and you, being a Jew, have done a kind and courteous and handsome thing in coming. Now then, we are all present in the sight of God to listen to all that you have been instructed by the Lord to say.' And Peter opened his mouth and said, 'Most certainly and thoroughly, I now perceive and understand that God shows no partiality and is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he who venerates and has a reverential fear for God, treating him with worshipful obedience and living uprightly, is acceptable to him and sure of being received and welcomed by him.'" You know the contents of the message which he sent to Israel, announcing the good news, gospel of peace by Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. The same message which was proclaimed throughout all Judea, starting from Galilee after the baptism preached by John. How God anointed and consecrated Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with strength and ability and power. How he went about doing good, and in particular, curing all who were harassed and oppressed by the power of the devil. For God was with him, and we are eye and ear witnesses of everything that he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem. And yet they put him out of the way, murdered him, by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him to life on the third day and caused him to be manifest, to be plainly seen, not by all the people, but to us who were chosen, designated, beforehand by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. And he charged us to preach to the people and to bear solemn testimony that he is the God-appointed and God-ordained judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets testify, bear witness, that everyone who believes in him, who adheres to, trusts in, and relies on him, giving himself up to him, receives forgiveness of sins through his name." While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell on all who were listening to the message. And the believers from among the circumcised, the Jews who came with Peter, were surprised and amazed, because the free gift of the Holy Spirit had been bestowed and poured out largely even on the Gentiles. For they heard them talking in unknown tongues, languages, and extolling and magnifying God. Then Peter asked, "Can anyone forbid or refuse water for baptizing these people, seeing that they have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" And he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Then they begged him to stay on there for some days. Cornelius tells Peter the story of his vision and how he was told to meet Simon Peter. Cornelius, as a centurion, understood the area and the tensions of the region he served in. Of course, he knew about the rules and regulations of the devout Jews. The chance that a Jew would enter his house was almost zero. But still, that angel convinced him to send out his servants to get this man, to come and visit him, to teach him. To teach him what? I do not believe he knew yet. What a wonderful story he was in for. Then Peter told Cornelius the explanation of his own vision in Acts chapter 10, verse 34 to 36. Peter said, "I really am learning that God does not show partiality to one group of people over another. Rather, in every nation, whoever worships him and does what is right is acceptable to him. This is the message of peace he sent to the Israelites by proclaiming the good news through Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all." Peter told the story of Jesus to all who were gathered, the Gentiles who had come for Cornelius, and the Jews who came with Peter. This, however, is an even greater beginning than merely the message of the gospel to the Gentiles. It is the start of the fulfillment of the prophecy in Ezekiel chapter 37, where the tribes of Israel are compared to the dry bones scattered over the valley. The Jews have been scattered all over the earth, and God will bring them back to Himself. This means, my friends, you and me as well, each and every one of us, through Jesus Christ and this wonderful miracle. Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 9 to 14, Common English Bible. He said to me, "Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, human one. Say to the breath, the Lord God proclaims, come from the four winds, breath. Breathe into these dead bodies and let them live." I prophesied just as he commanded me. When the breath entered them, they came to life and stood on their feet, an extraordinarily large company. He said to me, "Human one, these bones are the entire house of Israel. They say, our bones are dried up and our hope has perished. We are completely finished. So now, prophesy and say to them, the Lord God proclaims, I'm opening your graves. I will raise you up from your graves, my people, and I will bring you to Israel's fertile land. You will know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and raise you up from your graves, my people. I will put my breath in you, and you will live. I will plant you on your fertile land, and you will know that I am the Lord. I've spoken, and I will do it. This is what the Lord says." The bones have been scattered to the four winds of the earth. In this same way, the message of Christ needs to be brought to the four winds of the earth. With the words of Jesus, Matthew chapter 28, verse 16 to 20, Amplified Bible. "Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed and made appointment with them. And when they saw him, they fell down and worshipped him, but some doubted. Jesus approached and, breaking the silence, said to them, 'All authority, all power of rule, in heaven and on earth, has been given to me. Go then and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you all the days, perpetually, uniformly, and on every occasion, to the very close and consummation of the age. Amen. So let it be." Luke chapter 24, verse 44 to 49, Common English Bible. Jesus said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law, from Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms, must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. He said to them, "This is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and a change of heart and life for the forgiveness of sins must be preached in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. Look, I'm sending to you what my Father promised, but you are to stay in the city until you have been furnished with heavenly power." Acts chapter 1, verse 6 to 9, Common English Bible. As a result, those who had gathered together asked Jesus, "Lord, are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel now?" Jesus replied, "It is not for you to know the times or seasons that the Father has set by his own authority. Rather, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth." After Jesus said these things, as they were watching, he was lifted up and a cloud took him out of their sight. The story becomes more and more astonishing that all those who were within hearing had the power of the Holy Spirit come down upon them, and they understood the message that was spoken to them. The Jews, however, were truly astonished to see that the Holy Spirit had been poured out upon the Gentiles. They were not even baptized, and certainly, how could they be? They were not Jews. The revelation of the Holy Spirit rained down, and the Gentiles were taken up into the covenant of Jesus Christ. As Peter said in Acts chapter 10, verse 35, "Rather, in every nation, whoever worships him and does what is right is acceptable to him." This is also translated in the King James Version as, "But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him." That is to say, he who obeys and loves him, follows his commandments, which means follows his will, is accepted by him. We know it by now that Cornelius was not just a Gentile, he was called devout, doing right, being reverent toward God in worship, word, and deed. Cornelius was once lost, but now he was found. Cornelius and those with him believed and were baptized with water. Like you and me, I know that they surely wanted the same as we do. They asked Peter to stay longer and let them hear more of the good word of God. How is it then that so many cannot wait to leave the doors of the church, chapel, synagogue, or shul behind, and go home, sit down at the table, and stuff themselves with a great and wonderful Sunday dinner, while at the same time we can sit together and hear more about what the Lord has to say? Beloved, the vision of Peter was not a small matter, and it was not a casual moment in the history of redemption. Heaven itself broke into the ordinary rhythm of a day, interrupted hunger, interrupted habit, interrupted inherited distance, and declared that God was moving. The Lord was not lowering his holiness. He was revealing the breadth of his redemptive plan. The nations were not being welcomed into compromise. They were being summoned into covenant through Messiah Yeshua. Cornelius stands before us as a sober witness that the Lord sees the one who seeks him. He sees prayer. He sees reverence. He sees the cry of the heart. Yet even with all his devotion, Cornelius still needed the gospel of Yeshua the Messiah. That is the holy tension of this passage. A man may be sincere, disciplined, reverent, and generous, and still need the saving message of the cross, the resurrection, and the outpouring of the Ruach HaKodesh. Devotion alone is not the Redeemer. Yeshua is. Peter also stands before us as a witness. He loved God, yet God still had to enlarge him. He knew the covenant, yet God still had to confront his boundaries. He walked with Messiah, yet heaven, still had to teach him again. That speaks to us very deeply. There are moments when the Lord must sanctify not only our sins, but also our assumptions. There are traditions of men, fears of men, and habits of separation that must bow before the living Word of God, not so that truth is weakened, but so that truth is rightly applied. So let us hear the invitation of this message. Let us come near to the Lord with clean hands and yielded hearts. Let us ask the Holy Spirit to search us, to remove pride, to break prejudice, to heal coldness, and to send us again into the harvest. Let the Jew hear. Let the Gentile hear. Let the devout hear. Let the broken hear. Let the near and the far hear. For the same God who sent Peter to Cornelius is still sending his people today, and the same Spirit who fell in Caesarea still has power to fall upon hungry hearts in our day. Jew or Gentile, the message has been brought to you. God Himself has opened up the doors of evangelism to the world. Step through it and start telling your neighbors, friends, and colleagues what a mighty and wonderful God we serve. Blessed be His name forever. Amen.
Be sure to share the podcast on your favorite social media channels.